Hunters, before getting into this next episode, we want to thank you and our sponsors for supporting the Flush 'Em and Dust 'Em podcast, keeping our dogs safe while hunting, training, or traveling from one location to another, and helping them perform to the best of their ability is important to us. We keep a first aid kit from Gundog Outdoors in our trucks and carry one on our hunt-ready vest in the event our dogs obtain an injury while hunting. We also carry their water bottle to keep our dogs hydrated while in the field. To check out these products and other safety gear, head over to Gundog Outdoors at gundogoutdoors.com and use code RINGNEX to save 10%. We transport our dogs to the hunting and training fields in our G3 Dakota 283 kennels. These kennels are one solid piece of military-grade material and now have the option to add a feature called Dakota Guard. This adds an antimicrobial protection to the kennels that is FDA and EPA approved and is proven highly effective against Salmonella, E. coli, and much more. Not only do they care about the safety of your dog, they also care about your dog's health. Dakota 283 also provides other specialized gear to ensure our dogs have enough water and food for a full day's hunt, and to safely store and secure our gear in our vehicles. Check out Dakota 283 at dakota283.com and use code RNR10 at checkout to save 10%. To ensure our dogs are primed for the field and receiving the nutrition they need to work harder and to help maintain their joints, we feed Yukonuba dog food. We feel Yukonuba dog food provides our dogs year after year with the strength and endurance to perform at the best of their ability. Lastly, become a patron at patreon.com for exclusive giveaways and discounts. Again, thank you to everyone for helping us continue to bring you Flush 'Em and Dust 'Em episodes.
Hi, hunters. Thank you for tuning into the Flush 'Em and Dust 'Em podcast brought to you by Nick and Tyler, the boys from Ringnecks and Retrievers. In this podcast, we will talk about guns, dogs, gear, and our successes and failures in the field through our combined 40 years of experience. We speak with hunters just like you from across the nation about their days in the field and the many memories they built with their friends and family. We are excited to have you listen. Now let's get to Flushing and Dusting. Welcome back, hunters, to another Flushing and Dusting podcast. Today we have a special guest, Alex Langbell. He is the founder of Gundog Outdoors and a sponsor of Ringnecks and Retrievers, Flushing and Dusting podcast. We are excited to have him on. Alex, we're going to kick it off today. Just give us a little bit about yourself and how you got started with Gundog Outdoors and how that came about.
Yeah, sounds good. First of all, you can see I'm kind of in my uniform. I just got off work. So my professional career is I'm a firefighter, training captain, been doing that for 20, 25 years now. So I'm near the end of my career with that. So I needed a hobby. So I actually came up with Gundog Outdoors, and it actually came up because I've been in the hunting industry for about 20 years now. And I started out as a hunting guide. I did that for about 10, and then I got into pro staffs. And next thing you know, I started making hunting videos and ended up producing two hunting television shows, The Fowl Life and The Grind Waterfowl TV. So I kind of been in the business for a while now. And so one day I was just sitting in my blind and I came up with a product and it just basically keeps dogs from breaking. It was my quick release system, and it's been on the market now for 3 years, but came up with that. And it basically just, I ended up patenting it, and it teaches dogs not to break, keeps them from breaking. And it was just a really hit. You know, people were reaching out to me saying, thank you, this is something I needed. You know, just something that's really, really good tool. And so next thing you know, that's how Gundog was born. I, again, being a firefighter for 20 something plus years, my whole focus has been safety and stuff like that my whole career. And now I operate, you know, being a hunting guide for so long, it's everything is about safety. And so this was just natural. I really realized that there's no companies really focused on the safety of hunting dogs. I mean, we're all focused on our own safety, go through hunter education for the kids and talk about ear protection and eye protection and good, nice, warm clothes when you're out hunting and stuff like that. But no, who's looking out for the dogs? And so that's what this kind of my company is kind of born from, is just it's really focused on creating products that are designed to keep dogs safe and keep them comfortable. You know, I came out with a field trauma kit, again, 20, 25 years firefighter.
We've had to use that a few times, Tyler and I both.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, I hate to say that seeing people use it, but at least it's good. It's there. That's what it's for. And so, I just came up with the kit, and it, and you can use it on humans because it's all the same stuff that I've used in the field as a EMT. And honestly, it's like, well, you're not a vet. Well, you don't need to be a vet when you're treating a wound. And that's the whole thing, is you have just to understand how wound care and what to do and controlling bleeding and stopping the bleeding and getting it to a vet that can go that, take it to that next step. So that's kind of where my, you know, because I've had hunting dogs since I was 12, you know, over close to 40 years now, like I aged myself, but, you know, have hunting dogs for that long, hunted for that long. I've seen all sorts of injuries. So just, you know, coming out with products, it came out of the water bottle that keeps dogs specifically designed for hunting dogs or working dogs for that matter. So anyway, that's kind of where I got the start of Gun Dog, you know, just really it's a born out of a need. And so I've just taken the next level, and people love it. They love the, like, I have top notch customer service. I really care about, you know, the dogs, and so people see that, and it's just been a really good adventure that we're kind of taking off right now. And in fact, I'm retiring a little bit early, and I'm going to focus 100% on the company, and I'm excited for, got all sorts of stuff in the work, so be fun.
So you're the first aid kit. That seems, how long has that been out?
The first aid kit, I put it together last year. So I would say it's been out about 13 months.
Yeah. And I know, like, so we saw it come out, and I was like, you know, that's a huge thing, especially in the uplands, just because the dogs go through so much different types of cover throughout the day. Mm-hmm. You know, you get into a swampy area, you know, you got sticks coming up, you go through briars, you got barbed wire fences. And that was, seeing that come out was awesome for us, because when you look at a lot of like the upland hunting chat groups on Facebook or forums, you know, everybody's like, hey, what do you got for first aid kit? What should we put in a first aid kit? And you know, everybody has what they want, but yours is, I mean, it's like all encompassing. When you
caters to everybody.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah. I know you've enhanced it through this year. I think you've added a couple of things to it. Mm-hmm. Am I correct?
Yeah.
I don't know what they were.
Yeah, no, I've done, I mean, you know, and that's the idea, is you improve what you start out with. And this is all the basis of the aid kit was exactly what you would need to treat a wound. Like I said, I've been an EMT firefighter for 25 years. I've treated gunshot wounds, knife wounds, impalements, you know, I've seen it all. And I've seen
decapitations, you're gonna say?
I've seen some stuff, guys. And so I've seen it in the field with dogs too. I've seen a dog go in hypothermia, I've seen a dog go in seizures, I've seen a dog take a stick to the chest twice. I've seen ears get ripped open. So I've treated them, you know. So I put together basically a kit that was just no nonsense. I know what it takes to do it. But I didn't want to, there's some kits out there so encompassing that you can't carry them out in the field. They're so big, you know, $200 later, and you got basically a big, it's too much. So this is something you can put on your belt. You can throw it in your vest. You can throw it, you know, in your blind bag if you're a waterfowl hunter. Throw it in your truck. And it's just, everything is there. And it's, I just added a skin stapler. There's a lot of demand for that. You got some guys like the pig hunters, you know, with the dogs that fight, they get and always getting gored and stuff like that. I added that to the kit, and so it's just a good all around kit, and it's just doing so well because it's not just thrown together by someone who doesn't know what they're doing. It's again, it's stuff that I've used in the field and I know it, and it's all U.S. made. All paramedics and EMTs throughout the U.S. use this product. So
you know, that's why I would say that you know, me personally, I was thinking the same way you just said. You know, I always took care of myself in the field, but I never ever took a first aid kit. I was just figured, oh, well, if you got hurt, then, you know, I'd just go home or whatever. Well, you know, in South Dakota, when we were out there this past year, Diesel actually ripped his whole toenail off and ended up, never got a video of it, of course. I wish I would have. I wasn't thinking of it, but I used it right then and there in South Dakota. So it is. You know, going back and thinking of the hunting and everything your dog's running through, cattails and all that type of
shit. Right, yeah.
Yeah, no, I won't leave home without it now. Actually, I just took it out of my truck this past weekend. I had it in there the whole time up until now.
Yeah. And it's cool because I got a little guide, field guide in there, and it kind of goes over the signs and symptoms that you might get. You know, you might notice like hypothermia when a dog gets cold, you know, wild when they're hunting ducks and stuff like that, you know. So I put in stuff, I put in tweezers. It's just, I'm constantly improving it, making it better. And right now I think it's as solid. I mean, this could be very easily carried on any, like if I was to go to cover a fair, we're walking around with a bunch of people, I could easily carry this as a medical bag for helping, you know, civilians and people and stuff. So.
The one thing that I really like about your product is not just the product itself, but just the design of how you have it for convenience, the design of it, the way it's put together. You know, for example, both of your water bottle and the first aid kit, they have straps on the back that you can attach to if you're wearing Molly. And a lot of the Upland vest, specific Upland vests that are newer, are now having Molly on them. So it's very easy to attach the water bottle, the first aid kit to it.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, when you have the, you know, if you're in a duck blind, if you have it in your truck somewhere, you know, you can button it to whatever you need it to. So it's easy to access.
Yeah.
You know, that's a feature that I think is really nice, you know, and especially for the uplands, because it's really hard to carry stuff unless it goes well with your, with the vest that you're wearing, you know?
So I
like that.
You know, and I would bring up your water bottle too, Alex. You know, this was the first year, I think it was your first year with that too, Tyler, isn't it?
Yep.
But it was our first year with that, and we got so many compliments on that water bottle. Oh man, your dog can drink out of that so easy. I'm like, well, and I was like, yeah, your dog can drink out of it too. Just give me some of your water.
I know it's so convenient, man, and that it's like, you know, we used to carry around a Aquafina bottle or you know a big Gatorade squirt bottle or something, and you dump half of it on the ground, you know, and this is nice. You can put the water into the cup and then you tip it back. You know, if the dog doesn't want any more, it drains back in. You know, very well.
Genius. Genius. No,
thank you. Thank you. And I love it, and people love it, absolutely love it. And so,
do you drink out of it yourself then?
Yeah. You know what? I've cracked that lid. But it's just really nice. And we're, I'm actually designing right now. It'll be out next season, a bigger bottle. So it'll be a bigger hold of 20 to 24 ounces. So you won't have to carry an extra water bottle with you, or because, you know, those dogs are working hard. And that's something people tend to forget. Upland bird hunters, not so much, but the waterfowl hunters, you got to think about this. A dog is out there, and if he's by himself and you're on a good shoot and you get 24, you know, 36 birds down, that dog is running full speed over. And if you're on a field and you're not in water, they can get dehydrated really quick, even if it's 30 degrees. And so it's been really nice to have them in the field. And that's important to keep dogs hydrated and to keep them fed too. That's another thing that, you know, that's another part about the company. It's not only providing the products, it's giving the education to folks, you know, on our social media pages and stuff like that. Is you try to educate folks on dehydration, hypothermia. You know, I mean, these dogs are athletes. I mean, you think about going out in the field, running around for 4 hours and not drinking anything or eating anything. How are you going to feel? So that's, you put yourself in the dog's shoes.
I try not to drink anything all day because I'm driving constantly and I don't want to stop.
Well, you're probably drinking a beer.
I will have a beer. Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that, but you know what I'm talking. It's just like, you got to feed your dogs. Food is energy. It's warmth. If they get, and especially waterfowl hunters, you don't feed your dogs. I always, when I was young, I didn't think about it, but as I got older and realized and understood and see how it reacted and dogs reacted, their minds are sharper when they're not hungry and they're not thirsty. And so, just very important. And so that's why I'm really passionate, because I absolutely love dogs. They make everything in hunting. So
And just for our listeners, Alex, you just recently came out with that water bottle in an orange sheath. Is that what you'd call it? Right?
Yeah, for the upland bird hunters, because it
Yes.
just guys like that, you know. It's just something that I got the OD green is what I call it, and brown, so that's for the waterfowl hunters. And then for the upland bird hunters, I came up with the just basically the carry case that you either can clip onto your belt or you can hang it. You know, it's got a carabiner that's attached to it, so you can hang it somewhere in your truck or whatever. So yeah, that's, you know, something new that I came up with, just to give options for guys who like walking around fields and chasing birds. Yeah, I'm lazy. I like to bring the birds to me. That's why I like to duck hunt and goose
You sound like a firefighter. So I have the law enforcement background, so we always went back and forth to firefighters. You guys sitting at the station, just you're sleeping and eating and then just waiting for a call while we're out there busting our ass.
You guys are making it happen. Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny
You
that
know,
you say that.
I'm sure you've heard the joke about what cops and firefighters have in common. They both want to be
Yeah,
firefighters.
that's right. That's funny.
That's pretty good.
Oh man, yeah. There's so many running jokes that you can't get
I
enough of
know.
them.
Yeah, I got some great friends who are law enforcement, and I don't envy their job at all, because it's a thankless job this time
Oh
right
yeah.
now. Just like, people don't understand what they have to go through, and they're
No, it's
putting,
terrible.
it is horrible. It's sad.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's something else out there right now. But you know, one thing that I really like about the that you're update or making that water bottle bigger is I, you know, a lot of guys, and we're kind of speaking from upland realm, you know, a lot of guys are running, you know, especially guys with pointers, it seems like a lot of guys are running two, three, you know,
Correct.
multiple dogs at once. You know, and I ran into that this year is I was like, oh man, if only this water bottle, and even Nick with just one dog, you know, if you only have one water bottle, and it's, you know, the season, and you think, yeah, it starts in October, you know, you're like, God, you think it'd be cool enough, but there's days that's it's still getting in the 60s, you know, in November, that the dogs, I mean, if you think about it, if they're thirsty, their tongues are just dragging, they're not sniffing anything anyways, right? So having that nice break of and having that water bottle out in the middle of the field, you know, you can sit there, catch your breath, you know, for 5 minutes or so, let the dog feel back up on water, and you know, it's
Maybe that bigger bottle will balance you out, Tyler. You can fucking hit something this year.
Well, I'll have to see which way I'm shooting, so I put it on that side of the vest. So it's like, yeah, no shit.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Very good.
So obviously you're going to be going pretty much full time with Gundog Outdoors in a few short months. So congrats on that.
Yeah, it's
Thank you. I
exciting.
Your retirement coming,
Yep.
and your service obviously for that many years. But you got to have a future, and if you don't want to go into too much detail, you know, yet, because it's may not be want it to be known. But what's Gundog Outdoors look like after your retirement? And when you go full time with it.
You know, it's just focused on, first of all, it's about the dogs and customer service. That is my priority. I've been in this business for close to 20 years. I've represented multiple major companies, everything from Avery to Greenhead Gear to Rig'em Right. I mean, I can just go on and on about the companies I've pro staffed for. But and I've seen some really good companies fail because of lack of customer service. So my priority is going to be obviously the dogs, product and stuff like that. Incredible customer service, because that's what I like. It's hard to earn money, and especially these days, and to waste money on garbage or not get the service. It's like you're going to get service from me, from my company. And so the vision is basically create products that's just people are loving, like I've got three products that no one else really has out there that is specifically designed for hunting dogs. And I've got a dog vest that's in a prototype right now. It's being manufactured right now. It's going to be the best dog vest in the market, hands down.
Upland vest, or is this?
You can use it for upland, absolutely. It's going to have a
Yes.
protective shell, Kevlar, or ballistic nylon to protect from sticks and it's going to be full on. It's going to be a pretty badass place.
Yeah,
and so I got some great ideas. And we just got to make sure we get all the kinks worked out, field test and stuff like that. And then come out with things that, you know, other things, I don't want to go into too much detail, but, to compete, not necessarily, with anyone else. The best way is just come up products. I'm original. I try to come up with my own products. I don't try to come up with products that other people have, like the water bottle, the quick release system that keeps dogs from breaking. I try to come up with ideas that other, and I've got some phenomenal ideas that I'm really not going to share with you guys. So you never know who's listening, you know?
That's right.
But, you never do. When, you never do.
That's right. And so, when you do see the product coming out and you're like, that's a great idea. So, but there's some, I got some really good stuff planned. And we're just going to grow and we're going to have fun and, probably get back into filming again a little bit. Start doing some, I don't know about making TV show, but who knows, you know, Gundog gets big enough to where we might have our own TV show someday. You know, I have the background experience to do it. I know how to work with the networks and you just never know, but I just, you know, being able to
envision Gundog Outdoors kind of taking on two heads, if you will, one kind of for the upland crew and then another for the waterfall crew, or I guess how does that like look future?
I really want to do both because there are plenty of dogs that do both, and so and there's some passionate waterfowlers out there, and you know, and that's another thing we think about. Yeah, you have the waterfowl and you have the upland, but there's a ton of dogs out there that bear hunt and cat hunt. There's a ton of dogs out there that pig hunt. And there's a ton of dogs out there who are canine dogs who work to, you know, to protect their. So it's not, as much as I want to stay in that lane, don't expect, like, I've just put together a kit for a canine officer and it's a tactical kit. Yeah. So it's, you know, black and it's going to have a couple other things, but you know, don't think Gundog won't go into that realm as well, because these are law enforcement who are, they're laying their lives on the line, and the dogs are, and so the handlers are as well.
Yes,
obviously.
Yes.
And so by doing that, and I sent a care package, and this is a really great story. A gal reached out to me, and actually pretty well-known gal. Her name's Laura Zera, and she was on Naked and Afraid. She was like a badass little, she just killed it, right? And so anyway, we became friends on social media, and her friends, boyfriend is the special forces overseas, and he's a dog handler and stuff like that. And so anyway, I put a really good care package together for the dogs and the dog handlers and stuff, and sent it over there, and they actually used it. I just got an email the other day, and I had to leave a lot of details out, but the dog was overseas. They were running with the handler, and a pack of wild dogs attacked both of them, and the dog, Malinois, fought off seven dogs, protected the handler. The handler had to carry it back, right? Yeah, the dog is all messed up, but it turns out they flew it out, got rabies shot, gave it IVs, took care of it, and everything worked out well, and the dog's going to go back in the service and finish the deployment with them. But that's just the stuff that, holy, you know, if you got, yeah, right? So if you have that, I mean, I just want to limit to just waterfowl and upland bird. I want to go kind of the big picture.
It's all working dogs. It's
all working dogs, exactly. Because dogs to me are so special. They're so underrated for things that they do. They've been with us for, you know, thousands of years.
Nowadays, they're better than people. So
right? Exactly. I like dogs. I like some people. So it's growth, and of course my mainstay is going to be waterfowl and upland bird, because that's it. And you can actually see probably a lot more because of where I'm moving in eastern Montana. I will be doing a lot more of the upland bird hunting, the grouse and sharptails and the pheasants and the huns and all that fun stuff. So yeah, you're going to start seeing that. And then a lot of it is just me being spoiled and going, hey, I want that. Let's design that. And so, you know, and of course, anything that I listen to when you guys have ideas or you know, other people I know come up with ideas,
I just had an idea. We'll come up to Montana and hunt with you.
Perfect. I expect it. I expect it. Yeah. So, No, it'll be fun. It'll be fun. So,
you know, you talk about customer service, and I think that's huge. It's, you know, sometimes, like you said, it's lacking in other companies and whatnot. And I know one thing that you guys do very well, is with your first aid kit. And I don't remember the exact details, so maybe you can say it, but if someone uses something in the first aid kit, they can be replaced, or how does does that work?
If you use anything in the first aid kit and you document it, and even just share it on social media, or send it to me to share or whatever, I'll replace whatever you use for free. And that's just the way it is. It's just like, you, whatever you use, I got you back. And so, you know, of course I want a little bit of promotion so we can help spread the word of having, because it's so important to have a first aid kit. Like, it just really is. People don't even think about that stuff, but now I don't leave anywhere. There's always one in my truck. I went on an elk hunt this last year. I grabbed one of the first aid kits, you know, took out, and I just threw it in the bag, and we had it, and we actually used it. It was crazy. One of the guys ended up hurting himself, and we used the first aid kit. So it feels good to be able to have product that where you get emails on a regular basis thanking you for your ideas and what you come up with. It's just like, you know, I've been in the fire service for a long time, and I get thanks all the time for the things that I've done and to continue this with the products, my ideas, it's really gratifying to me. So I just love it. So a lot of passion, you can see.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So
passion drives success, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So if I can hunt now and just have a good time and hunt for the rest of my life, and, you know, make a little, pay for a little bit of whatever.
Think of all the ideas you'll come up with now that you're going to have all that free time. Man.
Alex, what are you, said you had dogs, right? What are you, what are you running?
I try not to have a whole flock of dogs or herd of dogs. I normally have one dog, and I focus everything on. Right now I have a lab. I've had labs and chessies. I've had springers. So I've had all three of those. I think they're all great dogs. I think any dog that works is a great dog. Right now I'm running a little lab. She's 4 years old. She's the face of my company. I just wrote an article for Wildfowl Magazine, and she's all over it. So it's pretty cool. Pretty good stuff.
Do you think moving out to Montana, you'll stick with the labs, or what's your thoughts?
You know, I thought about that. I thought about Chessies. I thought about possibly getting an upland dog, something like that. You know, I know friends have had German Shorthairs. Pretty high strung for me.
They are high strung.
They are. And but they're great dogs for what, you know, if you're an upland bird hunter, you need a dog that runs for 4 hours straight.
Yeah.
And so you know, I get that. So I don't know. We'll see. We kind of play it by ear. And I do a lot of I will do a lot more traveling. I'm doing trade shows and stuff like that once I retire. And so, you know, I can't have a farm. I can't have a bunch of horses and chickens and stuff like that. I gotta worry about, you know, myself and my dog. I can throw a dog in a truck, and, you know, and all of a sudden you have two dogs. That's a little bit harder. Or three dogs, a little bit harder. So that's kind of why I've always been kind of a one dog guy. But I'm not a breeder. I'm not a trainer. Although I've trained my dog since I was 12, so I know what I'm doing. But I just never gone that aspect of it. I've always been, like I said, the hunting guide. Did that for almost a decade, and then got into filmmaking and TV making. So that's kind of been my lane.
How long were you in the filmmaking business?
Oh shoot. I did four
videos.
Let's
just make sure this is correct. The filmmaking business of hunting videos.
So the hunting films. My first video that I made is called Rest When You're Dead, and it was Fred Zink actually helped distribute it and reproduce it and market it, and then it was back in 2005 I made that, and then I made four videos after that. I was approached to do a TV show the Foul Life. I did that for 3 seasons. After that, I left that show, and then I got approached by Rigam Wright and Dakota Decoys. They asked me to do The Grind, Waterfowl TV. So I did that for 3 years. And if you ever want to like just stop hunting and not enjoy hunting, start a TV show.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, people hated it because I wouldn't let them shoot when it's not enough light, and you can't shoot birds that are off film, and you can't shoot a bird going away. There's just so many rules, and it can be not as fun when you're being told. And it's a lot of stress too. I mean, especially waterfowl, because you got to hide cameras. You got to hide all the guys. It's just tough. It just really is one of the toughest things to do is film waterfowl and get good waterfowl footage. I mean, you can film it from a long distance, but to actually get close up with the birds, and that was always my deal. I really wanted color. I wanted close ups of the birds. So, and I learned a lot of tricks from Fred Zink and his camera guys and Field HUD and all and stuff like that. So, but yeah, we got pretty darn good at it. Like I said, we did that for 3 years. And then finally, my work, they promoted me to a day position, which is the kiss of death if you're a firefighter. So I actually work from an office, which I'm in right now. I had to kind of give up the traveling, because when you work shift work, you can take off 2 weeks at a time and go on a road trip somewhere. But with this job, you can. So I had to, I had to give that up. And that's how Gundog started. I had time on my hands, and then I just came up with that product and designed it and developed it. And now look where I'm, you know. And it's nice because I'm actually working for myself now. When you're filming and you're building TV, you're usually working for someone else and you know, doing their vision and stuff like that. But with this, this is all mine. I'm myself, and you know, I'm sole owner of it with my wife, and it's just, like I said, doing really well, you know.
Nice. Yeah. Does she have any good ideas for you?
She does the tax, so I don't get in trouble.
She takes care of the books.
That's right. She does all the stuff that's boring. So yeah. I got to send her on a trip every once in a while, like Hawaii or something.
Got to keep her happy.
Exactly.
Yeah. She probably always comes to you and says, well, we need to spend some of this money on something, so we don't have to pay in. So where are you going to send me now?
Actually, no, it's quite the opposite. She's like, you got to quit spending money on all these decoys and stuff. Well, Gundog's paying for them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's right.
So anyway.
Did that, you know, when you were filming and stuff, did that really take away from you hunting?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. It did. It made it to where it wasn't fun. In fact, the year I left The Grind, the sixth season of filming waterfowl, and when I say filming, I mean, I had 4 cameramen working for me. I was a producer. So I ran the camera guys. I did all the editing. I did the post-production. I had the graphics, music. I worked with the networks. I was a one-man show. I did everything except for film. I was in front of the camera. I directed it. So I did a lot. So that just wore on you, and it was just a lot of pressure. You know, when you have sponsors are putting hundreds of thousands of dollars down on your production and you getting it done, because there's timelines in television, and there's a lot of pressure. And then again, you're at the mercy of Mother Nature and the birds, and drop $5,000 on a hunt, you know, to go to wherever, we'll say Idaho or wherever, South Dakota, and you don't get your hunts because it's too warm, or the birds are too cold and the birds moved out, or you didn't get good film, or whoever was hosting you was full of you know what, because they don't understand. And it makes it really stressful. So when you see these good waterfowl shows on TV, you know, really appreciate what they're trying to do, because it's not easy at all. I mean, it's easy to stand back at 100 yards and film little dots coming in, but if you truly want to get good footage where you're seeing the color of the birds, and that was always my goal, is to get a, you know, fill up a frame, camera frame full of a bird or a couple birds, and so we had some pretty good stuff on our shows. So
yeah,
you would never think about that. I mean, just me. Just, no. Like, if you would say, "Oh, I was filming a duck hunt," you know, to go on TV, I'd be like, "Oh, well, shit." You just go up to Canada and you see 1,000 birds come in. Yeah. Go at it. But clearly, It's much more difficult than that. Just
And you talk about
shots
Canada.
And angles and
It is and very difficult. And you talk about Canada and you know, and that was a saving. Like we'd go up there like the beginning of the season and I'd get you know, three good episodes there because you have the ability, because you have so many options, you know, you can shoot 18 birds up there. You can stack them up. So you can get episodes, even if you had a bad day, which was rare. It's early in the season. So the birds aren't as skittish, but no one wants to watch a entire TV show of just Canada hunting. They want to see small water, in creeks and stuff like that. They want to see timber hunting. They want to see all the different stuff. And so that's what we kind of, we had to do. So we'd go start in Canada, usually get a couple episodes up there, but then we just start planning a trip. And that's a hard thing. It's like, you want to hit these places when they're in the prime, but you can't be at, because the prime for almost every place in the country is December. I don't know why. It's just like, when's the best time to hunt? It's just like, it seems like it's in December. When to come hunt in December. But, and I know this, granted, you know, you go all over and January is good and November can be good, but it's just hard to plan that and make sure you're getting all the good hunts because, like I said, you're in control of Mother Nature. I mean, whatever she throws at you, that's what you have to deal with. So, you know, we managed to always get good footage and always get our stuff, but that wasn't from lack of trying. We busted our ass sometimes, you know, trying to get all this stuff. So,
I mean, we kind of got into just doing a little bit, nothing on that level, not even close to that, you know, but just running like GoPros. And I mean, even that's just like, there was times where I'm like, this is dumb. Why are we trying to film this? You're more worried about trying to have your GoPro on than, you know, just being out there and enjoying it.
I'm a complete shit bag when it comes to turning my fucking GoPro on.
Yeah.
You know, I think
forget it every time.
I'm horrible.
You know,
as much experience as I have.
Yeah. Having a nice camera, you know, and taking good pictures is one thing, but man, when you talk about trying to get video, it's like stuff just happens, you know, and it's like I wasn't ready for that. You know?
Yeah.
But it's something else.
Yeah. Cool.
Hell, sometimes I forget to even load my gun when I'm going out to the field, much less turn
that
my
happens
fucking
a lot more in the blind. You know, it's a good hunt if you're forgetting to load your gun.
Yeah. It means you're getting some good shooting.
Or a bad hunt.
Or you're so bored. That's awesome.
Yeah. Good deal. So.
But
Alex, why don't you give us a couple of your favorite hunting stories? Anything you want. I don't care if it's big game, if it's duck, goose, pheasant, whatever. You give us a couple of your best stories.
Oh man, there's so many.
No holds bar either. I don't care what it is.
So, I got one story that, how good it is, but I can remember the ones that stick out. Like that, I took my daughter to turkey hunting in Kansas. She'd never been turkey hunting, and we went out there and we got out there in the dark. And I'm not from Kansas, so I was kind of like pointing in that direction. And anyway, we get out there, and I'm used to big trees, like you know, pine trees and stuff like that. And in Kansas, they're not real big trees. I mean, they're not. And so anyway, we get out in this field, and I'm thinking, we're walking out in the middle of this field thinking, oh, we're gonna get out. And next thing I know, I look up and there's the damn turkeys, and they're like not even like 15 yards up in the tree. It's like right there. I mean, it's just kind of pretty crazy. And so anyway, we snuck in there. They didn't bust us, got in there, and my daughter never shot a turkey. And anyway, we managed to call in two turkeys, and I prompted her prior. I said, if two come in, you're gonna shoot. I'm gonna go 1, 2, 3, shoot. And so anyway, sure, here they come in, two of them. They started kicking the decoy's butt because we had a strutter out there, and or semi-strutter, and so here it's time, moment of truth. And I'm like, okay, ready, 1, 2, 3, shoot, boom. And then I shoot, and she didn't shoot, and I'm like, and I'm freaking out because it's like, this is our first turkey and I just shot first, you know, at the same time. And anyway, next thing I know, she's like, and I'm having a panic attack and the bird's still there. And then she ends up shooting and dropping it. And I'm like, I'm excited, but I'm like freaked out. And so So I'm like, what happened? Why didn't you shoot? And she's all, your bird jumped and it scared me. And I couldn't shoot. And so anyway, it worked out good. And so that was pretty fun. She ended up getting two beautiful birds. And then one was a Rio and the other one was Eastern. It was crazy to shoot two different birds in the same. And you know, yeah, it's her first turkey.
That reminds me of a story. We used to, back in the day, go to pheasant farms all the time, preserves, with my cousin and my uncle. And my cousin was, I don't know, he was probably 13, 14. Dude, couldn't hit shit. So anyway, we're going, and I could always see, like, when my dog, at the time was Jackson was his name, was getting on a bird. And I was like, hey, he's birdie, a bird's probably going to pop up. Obviously, we know where they're their planted, right? Well, my uncle would wait for his son to shoot and then shoot at the same time and say that he got the fucking bird. Oh, that's a good shot. And I looked at him like, no, he did not get that. We saw, and then his son was like, did you shoot? No, I didn't shoot. No.
I didn't shoot. No,
I didn't shoot nothing. It's your bird. Oh, yeah. True story. I don't know if my cousin still knows that to this day.
Yeah, that's great.
And just so everybody knows, I do that for Tyler in the field too.
Good shot. Yeah, so there's just too many stories out there just too many fun stories.
Do you have one before we end, a good dog story behind Good Dog Outdoors, something that
Let me think. I'm trying to think of something that just dogs that are just like incredible performances. I mean, I took Ellie, she was a year old. I took her to hunt the Klamath Basin, and we're going after snow geese and specks, and the limit is literally like it was a 10 specks and 20 snows. Well, and we're hunting water, cold water. This is January. We're talking, you know, below between 20 and 30 degrees. And I took her out there, and she had a good season underneath her, but only one season. Ended up taking her out there. And on the first day in the water, she retrieved over 100 birds in the water that one.
Whoa.
Yeah, we shot like 100, and there's a bunch of us, we shot like 100, and it was one dog. And so she retrieved, yeah, and water retrieve. And so ever since then, it was just, well, the guide wants to breed. He contacted me, he wants to breed his dog with her because she's just a machine. And so, yeah, after that performance, she can sleep in my bed.
Yeah.
Did you make your wife have a similar performance to sleep in your bed?
I kicked my wife out.
Hey, babe, how many birds can you retrieve? And then that'll decide if you can sleep in the bed.
That's funny.
Yeah, so, but no, she's a pretty awesome dog. So.
Oh man.
Yeah.
That sounds like it. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, a lot of good things. I got a lot. She's only four, so we got a lot of time left. You know?
Oh yeah. Yeah. My lab just turned, he's six, he'll be seven in August. So he's still running strong. He's still moving.
Yep. Take care of him.
Oh yeah. Yep. Always.
Yep. It's awesome.
So, well, Alex, we appreciate you coming on, talking about Gun Dog Outdoors, giving us some stories. We're super excited to see where the company goes, the products that you're going to come out with. We're obviously definitely going to test those out. Again, congrats on your retirement and your years of service. We definitely appreciate that, and I'm sure a lot of other people do as well.
And thank you for sponsoring us and helping us out as well. We greatly appreciate that as well.
Yep. You bet, guys. You guys are first class, and I appreciate you guys, and we're on the same mission. That's just to educate and you know, teach the new generation, you know, the things that we had to learn ourselves, and make them better, because we're quickly losing our our sport, you know, I mean, with all the antis out there and stuff, and we can't fight amongst each other. We have to work together. And
yes, we do.
I'm not going to have fight hunting anymore. And I want my grandchildren to enjoy what I've been fortunate enough to enjoy. So,
yes,
for sure.
100% agree.
So awesome.
All right,
guys. Well, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
And I'll let you know when I'm in Montana and you guys bring your dogs and, yep, and your shotguns and
we'll do that.
Shells.
We'll do that.
It'll be fun. So
yeah. Cool. Awesome.
All right. Guys. Thanks, Alex. See you later. Have a great night.
Okay.
See you. Bye.
Bye.